All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. And he'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, to face forever, for there'll be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every trial, there's been grace for every mile, there's been grace sufficient from his vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bounty. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. Oh, there'll be new grace I've not needed before. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever.
Thank you, Brother Davis. And boy, I'm telling you, if you hang around long enough in the Christian life, you'll tap into that grace a little while. And I'm telling you, when you tap into it, boy, you're talking about God doing some incredible, incredible things. And wait a minute now, not just in your life, in other people's lives as well. And thank you, Brother Davis, for that song and for ministering in music in that area. Take your Bible, church, if you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 42. I'm going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Let me just refresh your memory. For those of you that are visiting, we've been doing a little preaching on Sunday nights on our theme that we've set for our church throughout the year, and that is ministering to the multitudes. Ministering to the multitudes. We've been learning about the various aspects of it. I don't know if God's done something in your heart through this, but he's certainly done something in mine, teaching me to be a better minister to people. And it's such an exciting thing to be able to be entrusted with the truth and with the gospel and with the care of reaching people, ministering to people. And our theme a couple of weeks ago that I started was ministering to those who mistreat you. Now, this is a real test for our faith, is being able to have enough Christianity about us, having enough love for God to be able to minister to people who do you wrong, to minister to people who mistreat you. And I cannot find a better illustration and a better formula for ministering to those who mistreat you than the illustration and the story of Joseph in Scripture. So would you stand with me tonight, Genesis chapter 42. Up to this point now, we have learned, remember we learned when we met together a couple of weeks ago, we learned that Joseph had quite a unique spirit about him, and He was one of those guys that, he wasn't afraid to speak truth. So, what do you mean he wasn't afraid to speak truth? Remember when his brothers would be speaking evil, he'd go report it to his father. Remember when I talked about, hey, folks, you know what? When evil's going on and you know evil's going on, speak up. It's right. It's the right thing to do, to speak up when evil is going on and you know about it. Okay, you say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. You may save somebody's life by speaking up. Joseph wasn't afraid to speak the truth. We also learned that in Joseph's life, not only was he not afraid to speak the truth, but he was willing to be used, remember? He was willing to be used. And, hey, listen, he loved his father. He loved his brothers. And he wanted God to use him. And he allowed God to use him in an incredible, incredible way. And then we learned that he did have quite a unique spirit. Not a confrontational, not an accusing, not a critical spirit. But he had a very peculiar spirit. Seems like I read that somewhere in the New Testament, that we're supposed to be peculiar people and that we should have a unique attitude and spirit. And we also found out that Joseph is a wonderful, wonderful type of Jesus Christ. And so with that behind us, as just kind of refreshing our memory, let's look at Genesis chapter 42, if you would, please. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Now, quite a bit of time now has gone by, and in Genesis 42, I'll tell you, we'll just read the passage here, beginning in verse 1. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? I can see this. The father said, what are you boys doing? What are y'all doing looking at each other? He said, we need to do something about this. And he said, behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Seems like I read somewhere also that he already told them this was what was going to happen. Isn't it amazing how God works in mysterious ways to bring about his will? And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now notice verse 8. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And I want to take these verses tonight and continue in our study of ministering to those who mistreat you, and the kind of a subheading tonight of Joseph's philosophy of ministering. Joseph's philosophy of ministering. We're going to find out that it's probably not how most of us would have handled certain situations. But he handled it in such a way that an incredible ending came out of it. You know what? It's a good philosophy for us to follow. Now, Father, bless our time. We're grateful to be in church tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of the service. We do ask now that you'd show your goodness and grace in this service together tonight, and may the Holy Spirit of God move in our hearts and convict and bring us to a place of decision in our life about what you would have us to do in the overall plan and purpose of God. And we'll thank you for your blessings this evening. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You can be seated. There will be times in your life that your Christianity and your commitment to ministry will be put to the test. I said there will be times in your life where your Christianity and your commitment to ministry will be put to the test. If it hasn't, it will be. You know, I've often found out that most of the testing comes through, most of the testing that I go through, it came through my choice to minister or not to minister to those who've done me wrong or mistreated me. It's amazing how God uses those types of circumstances to teach you and I the greatest lessons in life. You see, Joseph found himself in quite a unique position with his brothers that he had to choose whether he was going to minister or return evil for evil. We talked about last time, sometimes people are going to do you wrong and they're going to mistreat you, and later on you're going to find out that you got the upper hand in their life and you really could do some damage to them if you wanted to. You see, Joseph now had the upper hand. You see, he wasn't just the little toe-headed brother anymore. He was now second in command over all of Egypt, the most powerful kingdom on earth at that time. And he was second in command. His brothers came because there was a famine in the land, and Daddy Jacob sent them and said, listen, you need to go buy corn, and he gave them money to do so. But may I get back to our story and say to you that as far as we know, though Joseph had the power, as far as we know, he never responded with any vengeance that we have recorded in Scripture toward Potiphar or Potiphar's wife. Can you imagine when the news came back to Potiphar and Potiphar's wife? Hey, you know who the big shot just crowned second in command? No, who? Joseph, the one you had thrown in prison. Uh-oh. Can you imagine when the news got back to Potiphar and his wife? Guess who's second in command now? Can you imagine the fear that may have struck them? But yet, though they falsely accused him, we have no record in Scripture that he responded with vengeance toward them. How about the butler? Liar. Said he'd remember him, did he? Only 2 years later. He allowed him to spend 2 years in prison before he ever remembered him. I wonder what the butler thought when he saw Joseph rise to second in command. You wonder if he thought, oh boy, you know what, this is the old boy that I forgot for 2 years. I wonder what's coming my way. Have no record in Scripture where Joseph ever showed any or did anything vindictive toward the butler. We neither have any record that Joseph did anything to the Egyptian jailers. I wonder if they punished him. I wonder if they mocked him. I wonder if they beat him up or spit on him or made fun of him. If they did, we don't have any record that he was vindictive toward them. You see, however, in Joseph's life, Joseph did respond to his brothers who mistreated him. Now, here's the situation. His brothers come. They've got money. All they're interested in is buying corn. That's it. Do you think that it ever crossed their mind that we're going to Egypt? That could there be any outside chance that our brother might ever be alive? Do you think it ever crossed their mind one time that when they got there that they would ever run into their brother ever again? No, never crossed their mind. And yet, here was the situation that now Joseph comes before his brethren, and his brethren come looking to buy corn. And what I want to do tonight, church, is share with you Joseph's philosophy of ministering. How did he handle a situation? By the way, a very delicate situation. Because you'll find out in life that some of the people that will mistreat you and hurt you more than anybody will be your family. People that you love and that you care about can hurt you deeply. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to treat them? How are you going to minister to them that mistreat you or do you wrong? Well, I think we have some answers right here in the Bible. And listen, we don't have time to read all the chapters, but I'm going to give you a few things that Joseph did when he ministered to his brothers. But let me say, first of all, before we look at these things, He never did any of these things with a hateful spirit. He didn't do any of these things with an attitude, I told you so. Never did. No record in Scripture. But I do find a wonderful philosophy that brought about an incredible ending to the story. I want to draw your attention, if I could, to Genesis 42, if I could. Genesis 43. I was right, 42. I'll get it right here in a minute. Genesis 42 and verse number 8. Now, you may not understand this, but you will here in just a moment. His brothers come. He speaks roughly for them, and he recognizes right away they don't know who he is. They have no idea who he is. And did you notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, and Joseph knew his brethren, but look what it says, but they knew not him. Now here is philosophy number 1 that Joseph used in approaching ministering to these brothers that mistreated him. Here's philosophy number 1. Joseph ministered to them anonymously. Now, that didn't go very well. Let me say that again. I said Joseph ministered to them anonymously. They didn't even know who he was. And yet, look what he did for them. He ministered to them anonymously. Hey, he didn't even reveal himself at first. Why? He didn't want to. You say, why did he want to do that, preacher? Well, you know, when people mistreat you, it gives you an opportunity to do something very unique. And that is to minister to them without them knowing it's you that's ministering to them. You say, what are you doing? You know what Joseph was doing? He was laying some foundation. He was laying some foundation for the end result that was to come. He had a plan. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And so he knew, realized his brothers didn't even realize it was him. So he began to minister to them anonymously. You see, he didn't reveal himself. He didn't tell them it was him doing it. Now, we have the same philosophy that he seemed to have followed with Potiphar and his wife, no record of vengeance there, with a butler, with his brothers, with the Egyptian jailers. Doesn't seem that Joseph did anything to these people with a vindictive spirit at all. But he ministered to his brothers anonymously. They didn't even know it was him. And yet he ministered to them in an incredible way. You say, why did he do it, preacher, anonymously? Well, look on. Chapter 42, look at verse 21. Now, while he's doing this now, they don't know who he is. I want you to notice what begins to happen. Verse 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. Now, wait a minute. Had he mentioned anything about that at all? I said, did he mention anything about that at all? No, he did not. Then why'd they bring it up among themselves? You see, listen, you say, preacher, what are you trying to help us here with? By ministering to them anonymously, he let God do the work in their heart and in their life to bring them to that place to where they now realize we're guilty of our brother. Hey, he didn't bring the subject up. Notice what it says. It says, we are very, verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, all this blood is required. Now, the amazing thing about it is Joseph knew exactly what they were saying. They didn't think he knew what they were talking about. But he knew what they were talking about, because he spoke to them, obviously, in the Egyptian language, but he understood everything they were talking about. You see, folks, can I say something to you? By ministering anonymously to them at the onset, he gave God an opportunity to do something in their heart that if you would have tried to do, you may have pushed them further away. So he did it anonymously. He did it without revealing himself to them. You see, he allowed them to see God's grace that we just heard sung about. Because when it was all said and done, when we get to the end of the story, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see this gigantic pouring out of the grace of God on their life. But he started the groundwork and the process of his ministry by doing it anonymously, without revealing who it was that was doing the ministry. Isn't it great to do something for somebody anonymously? I love that stuff. Now, you may not love it. You may want somebody to pat you on the back. That's as far as from my mind. I love doing stuff anonymously. And you say, how do you know how to do stuff anonymously, preacher, for people? You have to look and you have to listen. Be a good watcher, be a good listener, and you'd be amazed at what you can see and what you can hear. But in this case, these were people that had offended him, that had mistreated him, and yet he ministered to them anonymously. It's a wonderful feeling to do that. It's a great feeling to do something for somebody that you know has maybe gone out of their way to mistreat you in some way. You see, when you do that, it's the secret of them not knowing who's doing the ministering is what gets them. You're not doing this vindictively. You're doing it allowing God to do something in their heart and in their life. See, here's what we want to do. We want to go and correct the problem and confront them right off the bat. It's not how Joseph did. He ministered anonymously. You see, he was laying some foundation for what he was about to do and what he was about to see God do in his life and the life of his entire family. So may I say to you, part of the philosophy that Joseph used, he ministered anonymously. Number two, you'll find in Genesis 42 and verse 25. Now, here's what he did. His brothers came, they brought money to buy corn. They offered the money, he gave them corn, and instructed his servants to put their money back in their bags. And not only that, not only put the money back in their bags, but provide for them food, water, and supplies for the trip home. All anonymously. They had no idea that Joseph was behind this. They had no idea that Joseph was doing this, but here's the second thing in Joseph's philosophy of ministering to those that mistreated him. Number one, he ministered anonymously. Number two, he ministered abundantly. He gave them their money back. You say, preacher, are you telling us that we need to minister to people that mistreat us financially? That's exactly what I'm saying. Because let me tell you something, that right there, not only does something for you, it does something for them. And boy, I'm telling you, say, but that just goes against my nature. That's exactly what we're trying to help with, right? We're trying to help with a vindictive nature. We're trying to help. Listen, folks, listen. As I've mentioned, Joseph is a wonderful type of Jesus Christ. Look at what we did to him. And yet he was still willing to forgive. He was still willing to save. He's still willing today to spend time in fellowship with you and I. You see, Joseph, part of his philosophy was ministering anonymously. And then he ministered abundantly. Look in Genesis 42, verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. He ministered abundantly. He gave to them financially. You say, well, how am I going to give, preachers, to somebody that maybe does me wrong or mistreats me? How am I going to give to them financially? How about go get them a gift card and put it in a card and send it through the mail? And it just comes to their address. Your name's not on there anywhere. They say, honey, we just got a $50 gift card to Saltgrass. Glory to God! Hey, they don't know it was from you. Now the thing about it is, once we get to the end of his philosophy, his brothers knew it was him. And once we get, if we follow the same course, the people that mistreat us will eventually know that it was us, but there's going to be a great end result to this. And so he did it anonymously, but he did it abundantly. Don't send a dollar bill. Hey, do something that's going to cost you something. You say, what are you doing? What are we doing by doing this, preacher? It's called sowing seed. And Joseph was building a foundation. He was sowing some seed here in the lives of those who mistreated him. He gave to them financially. May I say next? He provided for them a great need. You know what they needed? Corn. And not only did he give them and meet their need, he gave over and above what they needed. He gave them their money back and food for the trip home. Isn't that great? You say, man, preacher, it almost sounds like you want us to be nice to these people. Yeah, you're exactly right. Exactly right. You see, may I say to you, church, that Joseph poured it on them heavily. I mean, poured it on corn, provision, and on top of that, I'm going to put your money back in your bag. Now, the thing about it is, when they got to the end later on that day, and they opened up their bags to give their animals food, guess what was in their bag? Our money's in here. Now, wait a minute. Immediately, what'd they think? We're in big trouble. Oh, no, we were already in trouble. Now we're in really big trouble. You see, they didn't see the blessing of it. Why? Because it was done anonymously. It was a blessing done without them knowing who did it. And see, when people mistreat you, you know what you can do? You can minister them in the beginning stages anonymously. And then you can minister abundantly. Hold your place right there for just a moment. Turn to Romans 12 for just a second. Turn over to New Testament, if you would, for just a moment. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Romans 12 and verse 17. All right, let's see if we can back this up in the New Testament. Here's what Paul said, verse 17, Romans 12. Recompense or return to no man evil for evil. Now, did Joseph have the opportunity to do this? Absolutely did. But did he? No, he did not. He said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That almost sounds like that we're supposed to do this. That we're supposed to make right our wrongs. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Stop. Remember what I said? Joseph did it anonymously and let God do the work. He provided the tools. He provided the items for the Spirit of God to work on his brothers. And boy, did it start working right away. Because they started saying, I know why this is happening. We're guilty because we sold our brother. You know how many years had gone by since this time? It wasn't like it happened 6 months ago. We're talking about years have gone by. Joseph is not a 17-year-old kid now. He's probably 30 years old plus. Years have gone by. Had it ever left their heart? So you know what? Joseph was laying some foundation, giving God the opportunity to begin to work in their heart and in their life. Look on. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That means let it go. Don't be angry. He says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what are you to do? If he thirst, what are you to do? For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So you know what Joseph did? Laying the foundation. He began to minister anonymously. Then he ministered abundantly. Can I ask you this? Do you think that Joseph was planting a seed that he held no grudge or ill will toward them? He was planting a seed that later was going to bear fruit. You think this was a chance, that he was giving God a chance to display the love of God and the grace of God in their lives? Absolutely, he was. Now I want to show you something else. Here's number three. Okay, we're still talking about Joseph's philosophy of ministering to people, the ministry. Philosophy number one was, I'm going to minister, but I'm going to do it anonymously in the beginning stages. Number two, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it abundantly. I'm going to minister, I'm going to give, I'm going to shower them with goods and blessings and cards, but they're not going to know who it is at the beginning stages. But I want you to notice something else. Genesis 42, turn back there, verse 24. Genesis 42 and verse 24. Now remember I told you, he heard his brothers talking among themselves, we're guilty. We're guilty! We're guilty of selling our brother into slavery. This is why all this is happening. And he's hearing them talk about this. Now I want you to notice how he responded. Verse 24, Genesis 42. And he, Joseph, turned himself about from them and... Did he say, you're right, you sorry rascals. It is your fault because I'm... No, he didn't respond that way. He turned himself from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. But the point I want to see here is number three to Joseph's philosophy of ministry. He did it anonymously. He did it abundantly. He ministered to them with tears. He did it with tears. He wept when he heard them speaking among themselves about their guilt and about their heart. You know what he was doing? He was witnessing before his very eyes the answered prayer and the answer of the promise of God right before his very eyes. You see, God was doing something in him as much as he was the brothers. And he was witnessing some of the incredible miracles of God right before his very eyes. You see, he ministered with tears. He was moved when he began to hear and see their changed spirit. Boy, they were starting to acknowledge that they were wrong. Now, wait a minute. You know how he started it off? Anonymously, abundantly. And is he starting to see fruit? Oh, yeah. He's starting to see God work in their lives. And folks, let me tell you something. Having been going through some trials myself, and so have you, isn't it wonderful when you just let God do the work in the lives of people instead of you and I trying to do it in them, thinking that we know best and how we need to go about the business of making this right? How about trying Joseph's philosophy? Anonymously, abundantly, with tears. He ministered with tears. He wept for the people that had offended him. He wept for those that mistreated him. See, he wept when he saw the changed spirit of his brothers. He wept when he saw God's hand in restoring them. How often do you think Joseph prayed for this very moment in time? You say, oh, preacher, he didn't pray for anything. Well, just hang on just a minute. Let me ask you something. You see, Joseph had dreamed two dreams, right? And in both situations, he knew who the people were that were going to bow down to him. Now, wait a minute. Up to this point, before his brothers ever showed up, had it happened yet? So he knew God wasn't done with him, right? Because God hadn't fulfilled that promise yet. So he knew this was going to happen at some point. He just didn't know when. You think he might have been in prayer, oh, Lord God, please give me the strength when that day and that hour comes when I come face to face with my brothers. Yeah, he knew it was coming. And may I say to you, people who offend you, people who mistreat you, you must understand that day will come when you must face them face to face. That day will come when you must look them in the face. I hope that you do it with tears. Joseph wept when he heard the changed heart and the changed spirit of his brothers. You see, he saw the goodness of God. May I remind you what David said in Psalm 27 and verse number 3? He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what Joseph was witnessing? The goodness of God. The goodness of God. If Folks, listen, I've been there when I have seen family members reunited after not having talked for years. I've seen it when family members come together or old friends have separated because of an offense or something that happened between them. And I've seen them come together after they went through the process. And man, it's a glorious time. It's a glorious thing. But Joseph ministered with tears. Now, this is where the rubber starts meeting the road now. Because we've talked about he ministered anonymously. He ministered abundantly. He ministered with tears. Now I want to show you what he did. He didn't say, okay, guys, I'm done with y'all. Adios. No. Joseph then, here's number four of his philosophy. Joseph ministered to them with hospitality. You say, oh, preacher, I can't do it. Then you won't have the same results. If you want to have the incredibly God-ordained results he had, look what he did. Look in Genesis 43. Look at Genesis 43, verse 16. Now remember, he sends his brothers away and says, listen, I'm keeping Simeon. You go get your youngest brother you say you have named Benjamin. You bring him back, or Simeon, he'll never see the light of day again. So they went back, and you know what they had to do with Jacob? They had to convince him to let him go. Jacob said, you guys, I can't believe you're asking this of me. Don't you realize I've already lost one son? And you want to take my son that I love and care for? Say, Daddy, if we don't, we can't go back and get no more corn. Because he said he didn't want to see our stinking face again unless Benjamin be with us. So they convinced him to take Benjamin back, and they did. Now I want you to notice what happened. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men where? Come on, talk to me now. Bring them where? You mean to your house? You mean bring these people to your house? Is that what he did? He said, bring these men home and slay and make ready. Listen now, for these men shall dine with me at noon. You know what he did now? Here's his philosophy. Anonymously, abundantly, with tears, hospitality now. Now we're getting down where the rubber meets the road. Now's when you're going to have to make sure that your Christianity is exactly what you say that it is. Now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty where we're going to prove our commitment to Jesus. When those who mistreat us, you know what he said? Hospitality now. Now comes the face-to-face meeting. And it doesn't mean in the church foyer. It doesn't mean on the church parking lot. It doesn't mean with fisticuffs. It doesn't mean through an email. He said, bring these men home. He said, they're going to dine with me at noon. Hospitality. You say, preacher, you mean tell me that he fed them? Sure did. Sure did. May I remind you, same guys that wanted to kill him. Same guys we find in Scripture that said they hated him. They despised him. And now what's he doing? He's bringing them into his house and feeding them. Now, folks, listen to me. What I just told you, that's good preaching. That's difficult to practice. You say, amen, preacher, amen. Boy, it's good. Amen. But try practicing it. Those people that mistreat you, try and invite, call them up, or send them a letter and say, listen, I'd like to take y'all out for supper at such and such date. Can y'all do that? I'd like to have you over at our house at such and such date. Can y'all do that? Now listen, you know what? Now listen to me now. I wonder how many Egyptians said, you lost your mind? Are you crazy? You know what's going to happen if Pharaoh finds out about this? What are you doing? I imagine there were probably a few people that told him he didn't know what he's doing. I imagine there was a few people that probably said, you know what? You're making a huge mistake, man. You're making a huge mistake being identified with these people. Wait a minute, you know what he's doing? He's on the process of ministering for a positive outcome. Most of us don't think about a positive outcome. We think about how is this going to benefit us instead of how is it going to benefit others in the process. See, Joseph ministered to them with hospitality. You see, he had them over to eat. He treated them with respect. You know why? I know that because when they came in to eat, he had them seated from the eldest to the youngest. And you know what? When they got there and they looked around, they thought, it's probably just a coincidence. Yeah, it's probably just a coincidence that you know, the eldest is there and the youngest is here. He's got us in our birth order. It's probably just a coincidence. You know what? He treated them with respect. And he fed them. And may I say to you that he made it fun. Did you notice over in verse 34, look at Genesis 43, verse 34. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. But wait a minute, that's not the important part. The important part's the last part. He said, and they drank and were merry with him. So you know what? When he had them over, he didn't say to them, boys, the reason I'm having y'all over tonight, I'm going to rake you over the coals for what you did to me. Now, you know what he did? Never even brought it up. Just had them in. They ate. Had a great old time. Well, guys, God bless you. Thank you. You see, the thing about it is, he didn't have to say anything. God was already doing something in their heart already. He didn't have to do anything. You say, preacher, this sounds crazy. You're almost like letting these people off the hook. No. Didn't you see what we read just a moment ago? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You're not letting them off the hook. All you're doing is taking them off your hook and putting them on God's hook. You see, we like to keep them on our hook. Because you know what we do? We like to reel them in and let them reel them in. We like to play with them, don't we? That's not of God. That's taunting. That's rude. That's not Christian. And yet here it is. Joseph is using a philosophy that's about to pay incredible dividends. You see, you ever had someone that maybe has mistreated you, and if you've done it the right way, isn't it amazing how sometimes you never even have to address the problem? God solves it because you're doing it the right way, the Joseph philosophy. Well, let me give you one more. Look in Genesis 45. Look in Genesis 45. Now, here's his philosophy. Number one, in the beginning, he ministered anonymously. Number two, he ministered abundantly. He gave to them financially, provided, met a great need. I mean, he just poured it on. Number three, he ministered with tears. He wept over these people. Number four, he ministered with hospitality. He had them to his house. Sat down, fed them, had a great time with them. Never brought the subject up. And then number five, Joseph ministered to them with wisdom. And I want you to notice what happens now in Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from him. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept out loud. Now wait a minute. Now, this time, remember the times before, he turned from them and he went into a chamber and wept. This time, no more weeping privately. This time, he's weeping publicly in front of them. Now notice what it says. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Boy, he must have been doing some major weeping. And Joseph said unto his brother, guys, I'm Joseph. And notice what happened. He says, I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. And they were troubled at his presence. Say, preacher, why couldn't they answer him? You think right about the time he said, I'm Joseph, that all of a sudden they got to thinking, so that's how we got our money back in our bag. So that's where that gift card came from. So that's where that note came from. That's where that new set of tires on our car came from. That's where that came from. You think they might have been thinking, okay, now this is all starting to come together now. But you know, Joseph led them through a process to get them to this result. The scripture says they could not answer. They were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brother, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, listen to what he said, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me thither. Listen, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me thither, but God. Man, now listen. Can you imagine these brothers hearing this? You're the guy that put the money in our bag. You're the guy that provided all this stuff. You're the guy that could have killed us. You're the guy that could have thrown us in prison. All of these thoughts are going through their mind now. You see, Joseph ministered to them with wisdom. And you know what he did? The first thing he did, he acknowledged the purpose behind their behavior. Did you notice? He said, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. He said, it wasn't you that caused all this. It was God. God is the one that allowed you to do this and spared my life so that he could send me to Egypt. Because you know what he was going to send? A famine. He acknowledged the purpose behind it. He revealed God's workings in his life. You see, Joseph went from a prison to a palace. You see, it wasn't just God interested in Joseph's life. God was interested in the brothers' lives as well. You see, it wasn't just God doing something in Joseph. It was something God doing in his brothers as well. And eventually in his entire family. You see, he gave God glory in spite of how God chose to teach him and grow him. Now, let me say this to you. Some of you may not have been through some of the things that Joseph went through in life, but you think, preacher, what I've gone through in life, some of the issues that I've faced in life have been terrible. Can I say to you that if it was through someone mistreating you, what they meant for your good, for your bad, God turned and can turn to your good? But you know what you're going to have to do? You can't render evil for evil. You must render good in its place. You say, how do I do it? It's called the Joseph philosophy. He ministered anonymously. He ministered abundantly with tears. He ministered with hospitality. And then he ministered with wisdom. So that means while you're being hospitable and you're sitting with these people that may have mistreated you across the dinner table from them, and you look at them and you say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. I thought you said that there was an issue. No, I want to thank you. Because if that had not happened, I would not have learned an incredible lesson. I would not have learned an incredible lesson in my life that God needed to teach me. And may I say to you tonight, church, and remind you that when someone mistreats you, God may be wanting to use you to minister to them, to help them with something in their life as much as it is in your life. It may be something in your life and their life that God needs to work on. So don't look at it from the negative perspective. Look at it from the positive perspective. It's what Joseph did. Joseph said, hey, guys, don't be grieved. Don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me thither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at it from the positive perspective. If you hadn't gone through this and God hadn't used them to come into your life with maybe something that and did you wrong and mistreated you, you might not have learned that lesson. And you might not have been to a place where you are right now with a broken spirit before God Almighty. You see, it's not all that when people mistreat us, it's not always that they're doing it to us necessarily to hurt us. God may be allowing things in your life. You see, the process of restoration isn't always for your benefit. It may be for theirs as well. You see, after it's all said and done, and Joseph used this philosophy, listen now, he was blessed, the brothers were blessed, and Daddy was blessed. Now, all because Joseph's philosophy of ministering to those who mistreated him. Think about it. And I promise you, if you'll use the same philosophy, you know what you'll do? You'll gain a brother. That's what you'll do. You will gain a friendship and restore a friendship. And some of you maybe even restore your fellowship with some of your own family members. You've been trying it your way. How's it going for you? How's it working? You say, not very good, preacher. I mean, my brother won't even talk to me now. All right, clean the slate. Let's try Joseph's philosophy and see what the outcome is. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say tonight, preacher, no, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born into the family of God. So won't you